The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening to us. This is episode number 32 of the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. And as you know, where the Bills are now 6-2, and the players are not going to apologise for that. Joining me is Alex. How you doing, Alex?
I'm great. How's things?
Yeah, they're getting by. They're getting by. Yeah. So, I'm not going to rant today.
Yeah, there's nothing to freak out about.
Well, some people will say there's something to freak out about, but right.
But let's look at it this way: we handily beat a 1-8 team. Things were never in doubt. Look, even in these games, you don't put up 40, you know? Not everybody will do that to a team like this.
Yeah. So,
it was an easy win. It was a cruise. Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah. I think most people, well, me included, think it was actually good. I will admit, when Peterson Ashiem in that first half went for 101 yards, then I thought something else was actually going to go wrong.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy about that. But honestly, like, when you put the game into context, last week the Redskins gave up 19, and then 9, and then 16, and then 33, and then 24. So, yeah, really, it hasn't been since the beginning of the year where they were giving up, like, handily three scores. The last few weeks, their defense has been solid. I mean, the Niners game is probably an outlier due to the weather. But, yeah, the Vikings should have put up way more than 19 on them, don't you think?
Yeah,
I do. Could make the excuse there, though, that it's a Thursday night game, and Thursday night games are weird. So, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be someone who can find an excuse.
I
mean, looking at the box score, I mean, it goes, we're up by 7, we're up by 10, you know, we're up by, you know, 7, we're up by, it's always we're up by a score. And I mean, even when the Redskins were in territory and we forced them into a third down, they decided to throw the ball, and that's our strength, and we were fine.
Yeah.
So all the game script, the whole game, didn't require panic, chunk yards, fast play. We didn't need turnovers. We didn't need 40-yard bombs. We didn't, you know, it was just a nice, easy football game. Like, when we scored, I was like, oh, yay. You know, I wasn't up screaming because we did what we were supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I say, once in the second half they got their adjustments on the defense, and obviously held the Redskins to, what, 6-11, less than 20 yards of rushing in that second half, forcing the rookie to throw the ball. Then you can look at it. I've looked at it a bit more calmer and approached it. I mean, yes, Allen lost a fumble, but it was recovered.
No, so it's not a lost fumble.
Exactly.
So don't worry about it.
But it's just the way that after conceding 101 yards in the first quarter or the first half, they actually made that adjustment, and that defense, let's hope, especially when we're facing Nick Chubb next week, can actually start off the second half run defense in the first half, because if not...
We just got to make sure that it starts strong. But, yeah, so let's break down this game. And so you're talking about the run defense. I think maybe a bit of it could be because in the second half, Washington, for some reason, switched to a more passing offense. So I would love to know, to be in that room and to be like, All right, so the coach, he's going to try and win the game in the first half. Then when he realizes they kind of don't have a shot, it's more like, hey, let's figure out what we have in Haskins, you know? So maybe that was it, because even in the second half, you know, they're not down by a boatload. In the third quarter, the game is still close-ish, 17-9. I'm not ready to say that the run defense is fixed. I'm more willing to say the Redskins are bad and just, you know, got in their own head and tried to get too cute with it. It's hard to tell. I didn't watch all of the All 22 yet. You know, that takes a lot out of you, honestly, to watch games a second time. But I think one of the more worrying things about our defense this week, if anything, I'd say, is quite possibly the Ed Oliver snap count. Let me grab it here. Looking at what he was on the field for, you're seeing 35% for Ed Oliver.
Yeah, I mean, that is a hard one. I mean, obviously, he's three technique. Jordan Phillips is three technique. It's possible that the way that Jordan Phillips has been playing recently, that you're riding the hot hand at that spot.
All right, then why does Star have 57%?
Who else do you have as well? Who else are you going to put? Unless you're moving Jordan over as a one technique, there's no other real one technique out there. I think that Vincent Taylor is.
Isn't that? I mean, we got Ed Oliver to be able to do everything, though. He should be on the field for 70% of the snaps.
To be honest,
you don't want, in terms of defensive line play, that's the positions that you're going to see the biggest rotation on. So only Hughes and Murphy had Phillips had over 60% on the offensive line.
I think you're looking at the fact that it's possible the Star had, what was it, 54, did you say?
57
snap count. I would put a bet, well, I probably would if I had the money, put the bet on that being mainly the first half when the Redskins were trying to run the ball, because obviously he's more renowned for his
run stopping.
And then the second half when almost the Redskins decided to abandon the run, that they've actually he started to dwindle out a little bit. Is where Ed Oliver and Vincent Taylor came in on that rotation on there.
I would like to see the snap count broken down by half. I don't have that. That's a good question.
Because I think that's probably the reason why we saw his Star's snap count was like that. Ed Oliver's is not. I think the way, as you've got Peterson, just no denying he is a Hall of Famer. Along with Frank Gore in the making.
And they both, Peterson for sure outshined Gore this week.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about the offense later. People are starting to bring out their lists of draft booms and busts after, 8 week, 9 weeks. So it's just, you're not seeing Ed Oliver on anyone's best of lists. And at the beginning of the season, before they started playing games, Ed Oliver was the best pick of the first round, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit frustrating to just not kind of carry that through, you know?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, I'm just trying to think if it is more they're taking the approach with Ed Oliver that they may took the approach with Matt Milano in his first year, obviously.
Slow it down. Well, yeah, but Matt Milano's not a top 10 pick.
Yeah. But then he actually he was making a nuisance of himself in training camp. He had those games where he outshone Dion Lacy, and everyone was actually asking him to start. Mm. He started, wasn't at his best. Then obviously got replaced with Lacy again and Alexander. Then come the second season, that's where his focus and what it actually learned, they can't take anything for granted. And now he's turned into one of the best best off the ball linebackers in the league at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think that's possibly what they're actually what they're doing with Ed Oliver at the moment, just showing him that you may be the ninth pick in the first round, but that you've still got to work hard, and that's what Sean McDermott preaches, hard work and become blue collar to actually to earn that spot. Maybe he was riding the hot hand with Jordan Phillips and obviously Star there to stop the run. Maybe that's eaten into a little bit into Ed Oliver, but I can still see him having a good end of the season. I mean, I say we still got to face lower teams worse against with run and against the a rush defense, that he will shine. I mean, it's like Star, your stats, if you don't hear them, if you don't hear their name called, especially in Star's case, it's always a good thing. Maybe if they don't hear Ed Oliver's name with the sacks, does that mean he's actually he's playing bad? Or,
well, with 35 snaps, I mean, who's to even say? I mean, I don't think that's even enough time to be able to get that kind of grade for him, you know?
I mean, with him, I think it's just a case of he may not be flashing, getting the sacks that you're expecting and showing up like Jordan Phillips. But it's what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want the sacks. The one thing that I want is QB pressures.
And the only people that got that in that game was White, who also got the sack. Jordan Phillips, who got the sack. Jerry Hughes, they got the sack. Well, pretty much everyone that got a sack actually got a quarterback hit.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I think when they made that adjustment in that second half, I think that's where we start to see them play and see them back to the defense that they were before the last two games. Because you're not this defense, it's still second or third against the pass. Okay, it's like 19th or something against the run.
I mean, we're only pressuring the quarterback at 20% at a 20% clip anyway, so it's not actually even that great. So maybe that's just not a thing that we really are doing. It depends. I just wonder, because with offense, you can tell more, but on defense, is that what they want to do, or is that just what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the kind of the struggle based off, you know, judging defensive players is, are they just meant to in there to, do they want the defensive tackles to contain and then the edge rushers to go after the quarterback, or is it kind of it's tough to tell?
Yeah, I mean, you're just looking at how Terry McLaurin of the Redskins, he's come in the game as playing really good football, actually being the go-to receiver for the Redskins. They did something they don't usually ask from White, and that's follow him around.
Yeah, I think with the schedule coming up, that's going to be something that we're going to be needing to ask him to do.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's probably going to, they're saying he's going to be doing it against Beckham.
Yeah, next week. Follow Odell, Miami, who cares, Broncos, Sutton, maybe, I don't know, who cares, Cowboys, definitely Cooper, Ravens, that's going to need to be contain Lamar Jackson more than anything.
Yeah.
Steelers, Juju, the Patriots, Edelman, and the Jets, who cares? So exactly. I guess it's really not that much of a tough schedule going forward for our defense. It's just going to be, you know, the offense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at least the one good thing at the moment that's come out of that offense is the use of Singletary.
This was the game where we all get to say finally, right?
And yes.
I left him on my bench in fantasy, so I'm going to win anyway, so I'm not upset about it.
Well, he's now a free agent in one of mine when I'm 9-0 at the moment. So
just get him and just be happy that you have Bills on your team, right? But yeah,
I'm open to.
Yeah, I mean they did everything that we wanted to with him outside. Screen game, and it just all worked. I mean, poor Frank Gore, because possibly his failure up the middle is what set up Devin Singletary. So, you know, it's a team game, and I'm pretty sure Frank Gore's cool with that.
Yeah.
Because he looked horrible, and Dable was continuing to try to do that, which was mind-boggling. But, yeah. Singletary, I mean, on that screen pass, I mean, just the way he set up the blockers and his patience, the kid is just so smart for his age. We have something here, and I think it's great. And, you know, all the stupid pundits on TV are, oh, but he's not that fast. Shut up. You don't need to when you're running smart, you know? I mean, yeah. Have you ever even watched him play? Have you watched a single piece of tape on him? No, they're just saying what everyone says because these guys on TV, you know, they can't watch all of the tape for every player. It's just so frustrating to hear.
Yeah, I think...
I think they mentioned that in the halftime show on for CBS. They were like, oh, but he's not that fast. Oh, I was like, oh, shut up.
Yeah. I think with him, you can see he's pretty much, he could be classed as a human joystick, the way he's made guys miss on there.
The kid's moving, it's great.
Yeah, I think it's something that hopefully they're going to push forward a lot more on. I think the only, obviously Gore, he had a bad day, but just called it a bad day at the office on there. But good for that. Is that he's had a bad day, but then you've got Singletary who's had a great day, who's actually made up for it. Maybe another day it'll be Gore has a great game and Singletary can't get moving. It's what all good running back teams should be, have at least two, that if one has an off day or doesn't contribute as much as you expect, the other one is actually there. Yeah. Playing lights out and actually
Singletary has an unbelievable 6.7 yards per carry right now, which is not going to last. But Frank Gore's is still a very manageable and acceptable 4.1. How perfect would it be? And this is impossible, I know, because this is not how football works. But first down, 4 yards. Second down, 4 yards. How manageable and easy is that third down then? Just do that every drive, and boom, you always have points, you know?
Yeah, I think...
So those are the averages that you want to be seeing from this team.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, if we get designs like run designs like that, whether it be Singletary, whether it be Gore, whether it be a jet sweep, or anything like that, any sort of rushing that will get you those yards to make that third manageable will be great. I think it's just the way that you play cool, in my opinion. I mean, it opens up a lot of stuff to do. I mean, yes, we've mentioned it loads of times that they want to start going away from being run, 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 predictable, and try and mix it up. But again, it's trying to form that identity of that offense. I think they still don't know where that philosophy and what direction they want to go in it.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. I mean, I've seen people that saying DeBall should be sacked. Who for the rest of the season do you get in to take over? Do you promote Ken Dorsey? The only other people you're going to be able to get are like quarterback coaches, wide receiver coaches, anyone that's not an offensive coordinator.
Well, I think what people want is a different philosophy. Maybe not even philosophy, because I think the offensive team philosophy is fine. I think the problem with the offense right now is situational play calling. And I did the dumb thing of saying fire Dayball on Twitter, you know, missing the fourth down, missing multiple third downs, multiple short yardage plays. I mean, look at I don't know if anybody watched the rest of the Lions game, the finish of the Lions game. They're at the goal line. They just scored a win and they go jumbo. And honestly, I mean, I need to try and find those stats. They might not exist, but like, jumbo versus spread, how often, what's the success rate? Because you can see it when you go spread and then run the ball. There's just so much more room. And I just don't know why you wouldn't do that. And I saw another really good tweet. It's like, on third and one, you know you can get more than 1 yard, right?
Yeah.
And that makes sense. And that's the frustrating part, because that shows me, at least me, my offensive philosophy, when I see something like that, that shows me that we don't trust the team to do to go bigger.
Yeah.
It's you need 1 yard, just go get 1 yard. Let's play it safe. That's what that says to me.
My only criticism of that of the play calling is when they were down pretty much on the Washington 1 yard line, where three runs up the middle by Gore got us nowhere. Obviously Allen sneaked on the fourth. Yet just before the Cole Beasley touchdown before that, I think of lining up at like the 5 or 6 yard line, they actually passed it. I mean, yes, I understand you want to pound it in on there, but you see teams down that position where they will have the idea that they're going to run, whether it be running back, whether they do full back lead the running back in, but they always have those extra plays on there, like a rollout, quick pass, maybe a tight end, faking the block and moving out into space. It's something that you just need a bit more creativity in that.
Absolutely, in that end zone. Creativity. When you know you're probably going to go for on fourth down, get creative with it. Just at least throw in a run there. You know, play action, bootleg, back up, tight end, offensive lineman lining up as a tight end, just something. But again, this might be, and this is what I said, I think, for the Miami game, they're not going to show their best plays. They're going to save those for Baltimore, Cleveland, and New England, you know?
Yeah, I think
that could be it right there. That's probably why they're doing base stuff, simple stuff right now, because they know that simple football can beat these teams.
Yeah, I think it brings me on with Josh Allen again, and an article written by Joe Piscaglia on the Athletic, he breaking down the 7 observations from the Bills win. One of them was on Josh Allen, and what exactly is Josh Allen at the moment?
It's a good question.
Is he that guy that's going to try and lob the ball 10 yards, 20, 30, 40 yards down the pitch? Is he the guy that's actually going to try and take off where possible? It's how are they still trying to build that philosophy, build Josh Allen on what it is? I mean, we always say it's his second season. It's his second season and running the offense. And as a starter, obviously last year he came in, missed a few games, didn't play a few games. They still don't have that idea. Do they want him more than a game management type quarterback, which at the moment he's doing, and I'm happy with. I'm happy with him being that. Is he going to be the guy where the ceiling is that high that he can push the ball downfield a bit more?
I think what it might be is that they're not there yet in building this offense. I think possibly exactly. What the game plan here is to game manage him now, and then next year bring in another really good outside wide receiver, and then you might be able to have and do more things.
Yeah.
Because right now the running game is getting better. We need more production out of the tight ends. But, you know, everyone's for still, I mean, I said it in the last show and maybe even the last few shows, is we finally see a quarterback who can be great, and we want it now.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're being harder on him. So if you want those big stats, let's talk about big stats. Let's talk about completion percentage. He's not great. Let me show you some quarterbacks, though, that are better than him, and tell me if you want any of these guys.
Go for it.
Case Keenum, Mason Rudolph, Joe Flacco, Darnold, Trubisky, Minshew, and Fitzpatrick.
I would probably take Fitzpatrick, possibly.
Go jump off. Go jump off a cliff. You're joking me.
Well, the times where he's not that erratic. You saw what he did in the games against.
Oh my God, you're actually being serious.
A little bit, yeah.
I thought you were being a homer. Are you kidding me?
No, I still think that he could still do it. Obviously, as I say, the games where he's actually had complete meltdowns, yeah, fine. I don't want him on there. But the times where he's actually protected the ball, he shows that he can do that well. And
look, I get it. I picked him as my second best Bills quarterback of all time. Okay. But yeah. In this situation, at his age right now, Fitzpatrick more than Josh Allen.
Okay, if we're talking age into it.
Yeah, I'm talking this season.
Okay. If we're talking this season and age into it, then yeah, I would take Allen over.
I just think that we all have a big heart for who Fitzpatrick is. But right now, when we did the Miami game, I said he's on the downswing. And yesterday is not a good thing to look at for his stats, because my God, the Jets are bad and Fitz just chucked it. But we know he's good for that. This week he might come back down to earth, you know? Yeah, quarterbacks with more passing yards than Josh Allen. Jameis Winston, Gardner Minshew, Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco. Do you want any of those guys?
No, I was going to say your last one, your completion percentage, your completion thing, I would potentially think about having Mason Rudolph, and that's just because of before the draft season, before we even drafted Allen, I was high on Mason Rudolph.
There was a conversation that he was in that like top five, top six group. Yeah.
Yeah. So at a push, I would potentially have him if we had to lose, if we lost Allen to IR. And
that's not what I'm asking, though. The whole point of this is to show you that based off these counting stats, there are quarterbacks in front of Josh that are bad and would make our offense worse.
I wouldn't think that Rudolph would, but we'll leave that for potentially the end of the game.
I would say he would. And then quarterbacks with a better quarterback rating than Josh Allen. Ryan Tannehill, Case Keenum, Mason Rudolph, Gardner Minshew, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco. The whole thing is that looking at these stats, it isn't taking into effect, his ability to, right now not turn the ball over, make the smart play, gain extra yards by running, and also winning in the fourth quarter. I mean, these are guys that can't do those things. I mean, Flacco's a statue. Mariota's an idiot. Winston's a turnover machine. There's nothing here that you want. So the point is that stats don't give you everything. And I'm the stat guy. So it depends on how you're looking at it and what you're looking at, and then we say, oh, well, Josh is bad. He's making this offense worse. Do you think that there are any teams in the NFL that make the playoffs that are bad?
What, making the playoffs this year or previously making the playoffs?
So in the last 5 years, I mean, do you think that everyone who wins their division and everyone that makes the wild card, do you think they're just overall a good team? So Pro Football Reference has a stat called, let me get it here so I can perfectly explain it. It's a quality average rating. It's called Simple Rating System. It takes into account average point differential, strength of schedule, and home field advantage, and gives the offense a rating based on zero, which would be average.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, this season right now, the Bills are -4.8. That's only better than five other teams. But if the playoffs start today, we're the only team in the playoffs, AFC and NFC, that have a negative offensive rating. So based off of what it looks like this year, would you say that that happens a lot or just not at all in the past?
I don't think it happens a lot, but it's not. You can't say it's not uncommon to see the odd teams here and there actually scraping in on the basis of their of how underperforming, in inverted commas, their offense apparently is supposed to be. I wouldn't say it happens all the time, but
right,
you are going to see those certain some teams that and that will become or get into the playoffs with that lackluster, shall we say.
Yeah, it's offense. Just one of those things that happens in the league. I mean, there's people talk about parity, and more than anything right now, I think we're losing it because teams are willing to tank. But last year, the Cowboys won their division at negative 1.9. 2017, no surprise, when we made the playoffs, we were at negative 3. The Titans were at negative 2. 2016, there were no good teams because the Dolphins, the Texans, the Giants, the Lions, and the Seahawks all made the playoffs with negative offensive ratings. 2015, the Texans and the Redskins. 2014, the Bengals, the Lions, the Panthers, and the Cardinals. So it's happening. Aside from 2018, two or more teams with bad offenses make the playoffs. So our reaction to the Bills being bad right now, but still having a good record, is normal for the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the worst of the bunch is the 2016 Texans. They had a negative 5.3 offensive rating, and they even won a playoff game. They beat the Raiders that year, who were a plus 3.5. So the point is that we're hopefully still, you know, it looks like we should be 11-5, but we can make the playoffs and we can win. And isn't that all that anybody wants? So let's focus on the big picture here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next stat, hopefully, that you'll wow us with. And that's which you told me before we went on air, is the quarterbacks with over 300-yard passing games and how they rank.
Yeah, so everyone is talking about, oh, Josh hasn't thrown for 300 this, 300 that, blah, blah, blah. Since when the hell did that become a benchmark? Because let me tell you something. It's not something you want your quarterback to have to do. What do you think this season, tell me, out of 70 games where there's been a 300-yard passer, what do you think the win-loss record is for quarterbacks with 300 yards? Out of 70 games.
I think it'll be a close one. I think there's going to be more losses than wins, because at the point where you're going to get quarterbacks only 300 games, it's usually when they're chasing and they're actually behind by maybe two scores or something like that. So I'm probably going to say I have no idea. I can't really put a win-loss on that one.
Well, that's good, because your confusion pretty much leads to the point of the stat. It's a complete and utter coin toss. 38-37-2.
That's close.
Is the overall going through the week. So, but on a week-to-week basis, it's not an indication of quarterback success. Week 9, 2-4. Week 8, 4-4. Week 7, 4-3. Week 6, 4-4. Week 5, 4-5. Week 4, 4-4. Week 3, 5-6. Week 2, 4-3. And week 1 was the outlier. It was 7-4-2. So week 1 was huge. But I would honestly throw out week 1, because nobody knows what anybody is doing in week 1.
Exactly.
You know? So if you take out week 1, then it's not a consensus, but you are the 300-yard passers are losing overall, if you take out week 1, which is an anomaly, I would call it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that just to make my point, because I honestly didn't have an expectation going in. I thought it would be around 500%. I mean, 500, you know, winning percentage there. So while it looks nice, it's usually an indication that the game isn't going the way you want it to go. Unless your goal is to chuck it the whole time. But honestly, with a quarterback like Josh, right now, with his skill set, you don't want to be chucking it all game. You want to be controlling the game with the under 19 passing, that which he excels at, Singletary on the edge, or up the middle. We have a recipe for success on offense. Stop wanting 300-yard games.
Yeah. I think I I keep saying it all the time. I don't care if Josh Allen throws for 160 yards, 250 yards. If he gets 299 yards, I will still be happy that it's not a 300 game, as long as he's managing that game and the all-round is there, that we're actually not out of the game, we're actually dominating the game. I mean, yes, we're playing the Redskins. They won 1-7. They actually, their defense is not as good as what we expected. Yes, everyone wanted this Josh Allen to go 300.
Well, look at the Redskins' defense isn't that bad.
But I don't get it.
They're completely middle of the road in rushing yards per attempt. And in terms of net yards passing per attempt, they are same thing. Middle of the pack on that. Actually, top 15 and bottom 15, sorry, net yards gained per passing. They're 22nd. They're 21st. So that's nothing. In terms of total yards passing against, they're 14th. So they're a middle of the road defense that we had zero trouble with. And that's exactly what you want out of this offense, to not have any trouble with a defense that is decent.
Exactly. I think it's just a case that everyone wants that 300 yards. Your stats prove that even if you throw 300 yards, unless you're Drew Brees, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, in certain cases, unless you're Deshaun Watson this year, throwing more than 300 yards doesn't equate to a victory.
I mean, and that's how those offenses are designed. I mean, Mahomes is a freak of nature, and Watson has had the years to figure it out, you know? So, Oh my God. I just came across a picture of Baker Mayfield did a photo shoot for Rolls Royce last year. Shirtless in front of a Rolls Royce with a tiger. You think this guy's, I'm going to say something really stupid. You think this guy's really focused on football? I mean, you see, he shaved his beard twice yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes in scruffy. He goes handlebar mustache. Then for the game, he's got the short mustache. Like, I mean, kid, go have fun playing football. You know, that's fine. But handle the L's a little bit better, more than anything. You know, I mean, I'm not going to be here for the Browns preview. So have fun with that. And going back to the 300-yard game thing, I just had. If I have time, I want to figure out what the touchdown to interception ratio is for 300-yard passers, because I have this feeling that if Josh has to have a 300-yard game, you're probably looking at 2 to 3 picks as well.
Which is what you're seeing more with, obviously, with Donald. Donald's your
Mayfield. And then you're talking about L, and you don't want that. The offense is doing what they need to right now to win football games. They're not crushing teams. They're not putting teams away. But like I said, they have the fifth best point differential in the AFC.
Yeah.
Which shows that this offense is doing what it needs to do to win games.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Just do that.
I think, and this is probably going to be the last thing we're gonna say on this before we wrap it up, is that, I think it's still, as we mentioned, we're trying to get that offensive philosophy and how we want the offense to go. And to be honest, in my opinion, I don't see it being getting 300 yards passing every game. Maybe the odd game.
It's not a benchmark. It's not something this team is wanting to do, you know?
If he has one or two, if we say next season, if he has one or two next season, fine. I'm happy for the guy. But I don't think that's what the offensive philosophy is.
Yeah, it shouldn't be the measuring stick. You know, that's all you got to say about it, you know.
But I think this year isn't, again, new pieces. He's trying to find out what Allen's good at, what Allen's not. He's had that in the first season. He's seeing it more this season. Next season, make a break, maybe. I don't think so, but I think it's still trying to create that identity on offense. He's worked wonders with the defense. Okay, he's short the run defense, but offense, I think it's still a, as McDermott puts it, is a work in progress. We need to get out the tight knits and all that. But that's our opinion. We'll probably be people that actually listen to this and go, what the hell are you guys smoking?
Well, then get on Twitter, get on Facebook, and call us out. Let's talk about it, you know. We're looking for fan interaction here. You know, we put out a lot of questions on Twitter asking for input, and, you know, we're honestly not getting a lot. I would like to see more interaction. I mean, we have a Facebook group. We have a Facebook group chat. We talk during the game, all game. Join that. Reach out to us on Twitter. Let's create a game conversation, you know, during the games. We're doing this for you guys, and we want to make this a group effort, you know. We're trying to build the Bills fan base here in the UK, so let's go out there. Let's create some fans. Tell them about the podcast. If they don't know, if they don't have an NFL team, you know, let's grow this. Let's make this a big community.
And for this time, until next time, it's continued downloading, subscribing, listening. Become interactive, interact with us. And for me and Alex, it's go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.